Congregation, the text for this morning's our sermon is from Luke 23, the verses 27 through 31. Luke 23, the verses 27 through 31. Let us read them together. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? So far. What we should and should not cry about. The theme for this morning, what we should and should not cry about. Five thoughts. Crying about Jesus. We read in our text, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. It's singly crying about yourself. Cry not for me, but weep for yourself. In the third place, crying about your children. Weep not for me, weep for yourselves and for your children, for behold, the days are coming into which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. In the fourth place, crying about final judgment. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And in the fifth place, the crying of, not about, but of Christ. So what we should and should not cry about. Crying about Jesus, crying about yourself, crying about your children, crying about final judgment, and the crying of Christ. You know the Bible story, right? Crucify him, crucify him. The people were excited and worked up and manipulated by the leaders. They were not happy. They were not happy with Pontius Pilate, who would love to let him go because he could not find fault in him. They insisted, crucify him, and if not, we go to the Caesar, because he is a betrayer. And as you know, Pontius Pilate caved in and did not only scourge him, but gave him over to crucifixion. And they mocked him, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. Oh, the Son of God. He preached so many beautiful sermons and did miracles and was good doing. They could not find fault in him, but they yet accused him falsely. They wanted it their way, and they rejected the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not have anything to do with him. Before they enjoyed his sermons and they welcomed him into Jerusalem, Hosanna, they said. And now this, the attitude changed. So now I see the blood dripping over his face because of that thorn of crown, that the crown of thorns on his head. Now I see his back raw and red and open and bleeding. And you probably could still see it in his face that he had sweat, there was that sweat of blood. His skin was not so beautiful. Or that he is carrying that cross on his sore back and he can't continue anymore. He succumbs under it. And they yet want him to be crucified. And they ask someone else, Simon of Cyrene, to carry that cross for him or with him. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ going, suffering with real pain. And they crucify him. They put a nail through his hands and his feet and they hang him on his hands on the cross. And people spit in his face and have slapped in the face before and they mocked him and put a rope around him and mocked him that he was the king of the Jews. It was unbearable. And yet, I see also some people crying, especially women, tender-hearted. They could hardly see this. They could hardly bear this. And they felt deeply sorry for the Lord Jesus. They said to their children, so to speak, don't look. They kept the children away from him. Who are those daughters of Jerusalem? We don't exactly know. Some say they were just hired. It was just the custom hired to lament. They did not mean anything about it. They were just machines. I can't believe that. I don't know where they get that from. And others say they're God's people. They have been reached by the word of God in the past, but they don't understand. And others say, no, they're just emotional women of Jerusalem especially. I don't know for sure. But what I know is this, the Lord Jesus addressed them. And the Lord Jesus said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. You know what the response of the Lord Jesus? Weep not for me. But is that not natural to weep when people are so sad? Well, won't you cry when you see something happening like that? When you see a child of an elderly person suffering, having excruciating pain and being tormented? What's wrong with that? We're crying about all that. Feel sorry for someone. We should feel more sorry for people and cry along and sympathize, empathize with people when they suffer. What's wrong with that? Weep not for me. Why not? Well, you probably know why the Lord Jesus said, don't weep for me. The Lord Jesus did not want anyone to stand in the way. He had to do this. He was willing to do this. Or we read in Mark 15, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, the less, and Joseph and Salome. So may be they're included as well. So also some of God's people crying. You know, they wept. They did not want to miss Jesus. They really appreciated him, and they don't want to lose him now. They feel sorry, so much pain. It makes them emotional. They loved him, they like him, they appreciate his humility and his goodness. It's hard on them. Why is this happening? I don't like this, they say, the tears. I don't like this at all. This should not happen. This is horrible. This is wrong. And the Lord Jesus said, don't weep for me. Why not? Because in a sense, it was wrong what they did. Upon this Pilate did and the people did. But in a sense, it was not wrong. He wanted this. This was his will. He was not the victim. It was not Saul that he resisted this. He was willing to suffer it. He had given himself. He wanted to drink that cup. So why were they crying? Did they not see the beauty of the cross? The beauty of him suffering? Did they not rejoice that he was going to pay the price? They did not understand it. They did not understand justice of God. The Lord had to punish sin. They had no idea about that. And that's why they were crying. It was so superficial. I read about someone who had watched that movie. You know that movie that we absolutely don't agree on? We have a problem with any movies anyway. The Passion of the Christ. I read about someone who had watched that four times. For hours. Four times for 4 hours, I believe. And I was crying and crying and crying. It's horrible. But one thing, probably more, but one thing is missing in that movie. This text. Weep not for me. It's missing. They like to make people emotional, dramatic. They like people to cry. It feels so good to cry about Jesus that you feel kind of concerned and there's life, it's lively. Like people, like emotions in a book. But you know the person that I was talking about said later, I was unconverted. I cried. I cried my eyes out. And I was unconverted. Because I did not understand this at all. I only cry because of the emotions and the blood and the pain. Don't cry for me, the Lord Jesus said. I can bear my cup, but you can't. The Lord Jesus said, don't weep for me. You know what it means? He's saying something with that. What is he saying? What does he state? Weep not for me. He is stating, I am saving my people. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm saving my people. Are you crying? I'm saving my people. If you see that, you cry for joy. Saving my people. I love to do this. I have no problem with this. I will drink that entire cup. This is the will of my Father. Why cry? Why cry when the Lord Jesus is saving his people and obeying his Father and drinking the cup completely? He wanted this. But the Lord Jesus is saying with this sentence, weep not for me. That he is not a helpless victim. All those people crying thought, you know, it's too bad. I wish he could do something. But he could have done something. He was God himself, but he did not like to do something about this. He was not a helpless victim. Nobody could take his life, he said. Nobody can take it from me. But he was laying it down himself voluntarily. Have you seen that? Are you weeping for the Lord Jesus? As if he is a helpless victim? He's not. He is purposely laying down his life. Weep not for me. You know what he's saying? Not only am I saving my people, not only I am not a helpless victim, he's saying I am the conqueror. I conquer sin, I conquer Satan, I conquer the world, I pay the price, and shortly I will say it's finished. But the Lord Jesus was strong. He was not a helpless victim, he was the conqueror. He was courageous. And the Lord Jesus said, don't cry for me, I'm doing the right thing. I'm not a helpless victim, I'm saving my people, I'm conquering, and I will do all the work until it's finished. But Lord Jesus is saying with this, and I will rise from the dead. This is not the end. Don't cry as if it's over now. It is not over. Even not if I am crucified. Even not if I die on the cross. It will not be over. There will be a Sunday. There will be a first day of the week. And I will rise from the dead. Don't weep for me. So see, congregation, it is possible to be emotional about Jesus and not understanding him. It is possible to have real feelings, religious, spiritual feelings in your heart and not be saved. You can be very religious and emotional and concerned and just not getting it, not regenerate. So that's why the Lord Jesus rebuked them. Stop. Stop lamenting. Stop crying. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed, mourned, and lamented him. The Lord Jesus had no use for that. You know, when you are sick, when you're in trouble, when you suffer, you like it, and people say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. And although that might not help much, at least someone understands you. And you won't say, well, don't cry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. But it feels good when people are sympathizing and come alongside and feel along with you. But the Lord Jesus said no. The Lord Jesus said no, absolutely not. Weep not. Second thought, crying about yourself. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourself. You know, they didn't apparently. Or at least not anymore. Not at this time. Weep for yourself. That's a command also this morning hour. The Lord Jesus speaks to us this morning. And he says, don't you cry for yourself. Weep. Yes, weep, but not about me, but weep for yourself. So why is that? Why should we cry about ourselves? Well, we are the problem. We have sinned against the Holy God. We have made ourselves guilty of sin. We have made that separation. We are the cause of all that misery. Weep about yourself. Not about him, not about the circumstances only, for yourself. We often cry about the consequences, about what we must encounter in this life, the problems, we cry about them. Lord Jesus cried about yourself. That's crucial. I read something about that in Jeremiah 3. And yet, for all this, a treacherous sister Judah, has not turned unto me, with her whole heart, but faintly. So Judah had turned to God, but not with her whole heart. Not with all heart, not but faintly, fakely, phony, artificially. So there are people that turn to God, but not with their whole heart, but faintly. And then a few verses later in Jeremiah 3, you read, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, said the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What makes you tick? What is the most exciting thing in your life? What is it that keeps you going? What is it that you really like in this life, God-given life? What is it? You answer the question yourself. You know, whatever you have answered, that is your God. That's your God. Maybe a few more things than only one, but those are your gods. Weep for yourself, because that means that we have turned away from God. And we look upon things he has given us. That's idolatry. That is sinning against God, preferring other things over him. So it is essential to know yourself and to not just cry and feel about Jesus. Weep for yourself. With tears of what? With tears of fear. Yes. Having sinned against the Holy God, weep in fear. Tremble. Weep in remorse and feel sorry for the sins you have committed. We have committed. Weep about them. Weeping for repentance. For that turning away, weeping in repentance, weeping because of judgment. No, the Lord Jesus did not thank them. He did not thank them for their misplaced sympathy. He was firm about that. Don't weep about me. Weep for yourselves. Think of Psalm 42. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Congregation, young people, have you wept? Have you cried about who you are? About your uncovered state? About the fact that you have separated yourself from God? Have you cried about that? Bowed your knees and confessed your sins to God with remorse in tears? Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's how the Lord works. The Lord does not work by just making you emotional and making you happy or making you seriously minded only. The Lord says, weep for yourself. That's an essential part of the Christian religion and of true saving faith, to know yourself. Think of that woman at the house of the Pharisee. She stood at the feet of the Lord Jesus behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears. And it wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. She did not feel sorry for him, for herself. She cried. And you know that text we have preached about not too long ago from Matthew 26 about the Apostle Peter. He remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Weep. I'm not saying I hope you will weep. I'm not saying may the Lord teach you to weep. I preach the word of God. And he said, weep. I can't weep, minister. I can't make it myself. You know what the word of God says? Weep. Think it through for yourself. Meditate on that, what you should weep about. Maybe you say, I can't weep. Well, ask the Lord to let it sink in then. That you're without God in the world. That you have offended him. That you're guilty of death. Work it through your own, through your mind. And seek to understand it. Say, Lord, open my heart. Weep for yourself. I read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. See? That's what we need. Weep for yourself. Children, young people, maybe you're happy. Maybe things are going well. Your studies and your health and relationships and money-wise and family-wise, maybe things are going absolutely great. Weep. Because we need to be restored with God. It needs to be well with between us and him. We need our sins to be forgiven. Weep for yourself. Don't weep about the Lord Jesus. He is saving his people. He is not a helpless victim. He conquers and he arrives. Don't be worried about him. He's fine. He's doing good. He's doing great. What about you? Crying for Jesus. Crying for yourself, crying for your children. But Jesus, turning around unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, blessed are those that have no children. Blessed are those wombs that never had a child in them. Blessed are they who never nursed a child. Because some others will see the children suffering. What did the Lord Jesus mean? Well, he may have meant in the first place the fall of Jerusalem. It would be horrible. Children will be ripped away from their parents and mutilated and killed. And mothers and fathers will not only deal with themselves, but they will see their own children being slaughtered. But this text is also taken a little further in Revelation 6 and other places. It refers to all mankind. It does not only refer to the children of the Jews those days. It refers to all children. Cry about them. Do you have children? Not having children might be difficult. But having children can also be quite painful, especially if they leave the word of God. But even if they don't, and are always in church, and always behaving, and the nicest children, if you see that unbelief, if you see the unwillingness to turn to God, if you see the apathy, if you see the coldness, the worldliness, no interest, no hunger in for the word of God, and are realizing that they will die someday, do you weep about your children? Do you bow your knees and does it sink in who they are created for eternity? And that someday they will stand before the judgment seat of God and tremble that they must be saved. If you don't see it for yourself, you don't see it for your children either. If you're superficial, you're for yourself, your own salvation, you don't really care for your children either. You're just blind. Blind for your own needs and blind for the needs of your beloved ones. Not realize you have a soul. You're concerned about school and you're concerned about their friends and you're concerned about their behavior and concerned about many things of them. But are we concerned about their soul? Think about it. That your child may have a loving father and a loving mother, but no God. Does your child have a God for her, for his soul, or not? Cry. Weep. Weep for yourself, for your children. Meditate on that this afternoon. Is my child a child of God? Or meaning a lost child. You know, the prodigal son left his house and wasted his time and money and lived in sin in the parable. Maybe that's not what your child is like. But in another sense, all our children are lost by nature. Weep about that. Pray about that. Talk about that. Or think of that unwillingness, of that wrath of God hanging over their head. You know that Canaanitish woman came to the Lord Jesus for her daughter in the first place. And think of King David. He cried, didn't he? He cried about his son Absalom after he died. And the king was much moved. It was a difficult son, a hostile son. He hated his father, and yet he loved him. And he went up to the chamber over the gate and said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee." He cried after he died. But don't only cry after they die, cry when before they die unto God. Cry for your children and for your grandchildren. Be busy with that. That's, you have enough work. And if you are old and retired and you can't work anymore, there's always this to do. Cry for yourself and for your children. King Solomon talked about that. A wise son maketh a glad father. The foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Is it the heaviness? Is it heavy on you? A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. You know, there are many things we are concerned about in our young people. When they start drinking and going to the movies all the time and live in sin and are addicted or don't come to church or other things. The Apostle Paul also writes about that, how much it concerned him. You know that text, right, from Romans 9? I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He was very concerned about them. Crying for yourself, crying for your children, crying for judgment. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Let's start with the last verse. The green tree in the dry. You know, you make a campfire. children, a campfire with fresh wood that you cut in a forest. That's hard. It's hard to get it going. But eventually, you have the fire going. There's some flames, there's some heat, you can do something, it's warm, but it's not really a big fire. And then someone brings an armful with dead wood, and he throws it on that fire, and you see the flames immediately bursting out, an explosion of fire. The dry wood is burning so much harder than the fresh wood. So if this happened to the Lord Jesus, what will it be for us if we are not prepared? Judgment Day. The Lord Jesus talked about judgment on the cross. He saw those people crying for him. And don't cry for me. Cry for yourself. Cry for your children. And cry because there is a coming judgment day. Someday the books will be opened and things will sink in and people will be so concerned that they will say to the mountains, fall on us and the hills cover us. I can see this. Let Mount Cham be moved and fall on me so that I don't have to witness this and don't have to experience this because of someone sitting on the throne and his eyes a flame of fire. I was in Bolivia this last week, 10 days. I also talked to the young people in Loma Alta. They came all together in the church for a chapel. And I spoke on that. I spoke on Revelation 20 about that great white throne. And him that sat on it. From the heaven, the earth fled away. And there was nobody anymore. Everything left. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God. And the books were opened. The books of all the sins. And another book. The book with the names of God's people. You see all those children in front of you. Almost 200 of them. All those children, and you feel it. Someday they will stand before the judgment seat with all the teachers and the mission board members and missionaries. We all stand before the throne. And Lord Jesus spoke about it on the cross. He said, realize that, women. Realize that, parents. Realize that, all of you. Weep not for me. Does it make any sense to weep for Jesus? Weep really for yourself in the first place and for your children and think of the judgment day. That should concern you. That should make you be worried and crying about. Did the Lord Jesus not talk about it before? Whose fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner? But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? And if the righteous shall scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? See? So this text is related to the text from Isaiah 2 and also related to the text in Revelation 6. And apparently does not only refer to the Jewish people, but to all of us. So let me quote the text from Isaiah, focused on Israel, and then the text in Revelation for the whole world. Isaiah 2 verse 19, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth? Will that be children? When the Lord Jesus comes back, when he returns from heaven, he has ascended, he'll come back. Don't weep about the Lord Jesus. He comes back. He's the judge. And you will just creep in the holes, in the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Fear. Seek the Lord and let those things sink in. And don't say, well, I don't want to think about those things because they worry me too much. The Lord Jesus says, whatever. Fear. Be worried. Cry for yourself, for your children. And this text is related also in Revelation 6, verse 16. And he said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Think of that throne, a great white throne, and him that sat on it, a throne so huge, a throne higher than the ceiling of this building, a huge, immensely humongous throne of God, and Lord God himself on it, and the earth and the heavens flee, and then to stand there, what will that be? Crying for Jesus, crying for yourself, crying for your children, crying for judgment day, and finally the crying of Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, don't weep for me. Did the Lord Jesus weep himself at all? Do you know of examples of the Lord Jesus crying? And could you learn from that? Because he said, weep not for me, weep for yourself, weep for your children, weep because of the coming judgment. Is he crying himself at all? Yes, he does. But no pity for himself. But more pity for people. Think of John 11 about Lazarus. Lazarus has died. And his sister spoke to the Lord Jesus, Mary and Martha. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Lord Jesus came, and Jesus wept. Wept because he thought of Lazarus. Wept because of he saw people. Wept because of he was going to do his work. But not the weeping of resistance. He was not stoic. There were feelings in his heart. But no, he did not feel sorry for himself. And the Lord Jesus often in his life felt that pain. And he groaned also for other reasons. He especially groaned for that sin of unbelief of the people. And he did not many mighty works there in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Oh, that really hurt him. That unbelief, that unwillingness of the people, that they had such low thoughts of him. He cried about that. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So the Lord Jesus cried, yes, he did. But also think of Matthew 5. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus is saying, you cry, I will reward you. You have reasons to rejoice. And you know that text? I think that's the crucial text in my last point. From Luke 19. I see the Lord Jesus standing close to Jerusalem, standing on a hill, overlooking Jerusalem. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He wept over it. He did not only weep over his children. He wept over the city. Don't weep about me. Weep for yourself. And he did. He wept about the city. Do I go too far if I say this morning hour, Christ, in a sense, is still weeping for you, being unconverted. And you don't weep for yourself. And you don't weep for your children. And you don't think of the judgment seat. You're not too worried. Maybe you weep about Jesus. But the Lord Jesus is weeping over the city, meaning deep concern over us. Or so in this morning hour, he's weeping. So don't weep for yourself. What is the opposite? Weep for yourself. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourself. What is the opposite? The opposite is to rejoice in him. To not weep over him, but to rejoice in him. To delight in him. To love his suffering. To love the cross, to treasure Jesus, to rejoice in his work, in his payment, in his forgiveness, in his resurrection, in his salvation. You know, talking about joy, it's the opposite, right? Joy. Think of Joseph. He made ready his chariot, went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen and present himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. So that weeping is a weeping of joy. Have you ever wept of joy? The Lord opened his word, and you did not weep about him. You wept about yourself and your children's judgment. But the Lord opened the way of salvation, Lord Jesus Christ. You saw him weeping on that hill close to Jerusalem. You saw him stretching out his arms to the rebels. And the Lord has given that faith in him. And you rejoiced in such a Savior for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. See, after that repentance and remorse and the wailing and lamenting comes joy. Weep not for me. Think of heaven. In heaven is no weeping. In heaven all the tears have dried up as a delighting, rejoicing in the Savior Jesus Christ, who has given himself so willingly that he said, don't even cry for me. Because he is saving his people. He is not a helpless victim. He is the conqueror. And he rises from the dead. Congregation, weep for yourself. Weep for your children. The day is coming. Amen. Lord, we can only bring it to the ear with many shortcomings. But all we beseech, Lord, make people cry. Break the hearts so we won't weep over Jesus, but weep over ourselves. Lord, give that holy insight into who we are. We are so dead in sins by nature, but are able, Lord, to break the hardest heart. Nothing is impossible to thee. And bless the word, bless the meditation on it, bless the prayers this afternoon when parents bring the children before thee in prayer, crying about them. Lord, thou art a wonder-doing God, remember prodigal sons and daughters. Oh, parents are concerned about them, and we with them. But thou art a wonder-doing God, because the Lord Jesus Christ paid a price. And there is not only a book with sins recorded, but also a book of life with all the names of the elect. And the Lord will have that people for his own name's sake and glory. Lord, remember us through this day. Bring us safely back home and back to the house. In Jesus' name, amen.